Take your Bibles and let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, returning once again to what we've been dealing with for, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think this is our fifth Wednesday night, I think. And we're going to try to get through a bit more tonight. And I don't think we'll finish it. We'll probably finish it up next Wednesday. Because there's another whole section dealing with how we face this giant and see him fall. What are the ways that we use the tools at our disposal to win the battle? And so we'll get to that. We might hit some of that even tonight, but we're going to focus mostly at looking at the remainder part of the causes of fear. And we got about half of it last time. But let's, looking here at 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll start off right here in verse number 7. Let's just go to verse number 7 and verse number 8, and we'll skip on down to verse number 13. And we'll just read those three verses. But starting in verse number 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Down to verse number 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And so let me pray real quick and ask the Lord to help us during this time of looking at his word. And then we will jump back in where we left off here dealing with this giant of fear. Heavenly Father, we need your help this evening. I pray that you would open up your word to us in a very real way. I pray that you would show us more concerning this giant of fear and how to face him, knowing where all of the issues come from, to the best of our ability and understanding from your word that we have the potential to overcome. We have the potential to win this battle against this particular giant. I pray that you would help us to see that and learn what you'd have for us this evening, that it might challenge us, especially in this day and hour, in all that we are facing. May we have the wisdom to understand your word, that it might empower us and, Lord, give us the courage we need to face these uncertain days. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Give us what we need, Lord, this evening, that we might be more like Christ on a daily basis. In Christ's name, amen. So, we've already dealt with the creators of fear. We dealt with the basic information concerning fear. And we dealt last Wednesday with the cause of fear, and how that its root does come from a fact of, it's a lack of loving God as we should. The more we love him, the more we trust him, the more we trust him, the less fear can get a hold of us, because I know whom I am. And I would put it this way, verse number 12, we didn't read that, I probably should have, but verse number 12 there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, "For this cause, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And we know that's dealing with that day of facing the consequences, facing the judgment. And I can trust that when I've committed my eternity into the hands of my Savior, and he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But I would also say that God, and I think I said it the other Wednesday night, but God is capable of keeping anything that I place within his hands. He is capable of keeping that which I have committed unto him. In any way, in any circumstance, if I commit unto him my trust, he's capable of keeping that trust safe and secure. If I commit unto him my fears, he's capable of taking those and wrapping those in peace and keeping those fears within peace, the peace of God, in a way that only those who trust the Lord completely can truly understand. He is capable of keeping all that I place within his hands permanently. He is more than capable. And so we said that if I love God like I should love him, I can trust God the way I should trust him. And then the giant of fear does not have much of an area of battleground to work with. He is reduced to very little opportunity. And honestly, his weapons of warfare are not as effective against me. When I face that giant, it doesn't matter. As David faced the Goliath, you look at the picture that we use in talking about giants must fall. But there are numerous things that could cause fear. But when you look at Goliath versus David, it's not just the height of Goliath versus David that gave Goliath an advantage. His shield was massive. David had no shield. His armor was almost impenetrable. David tried to wear Saul's armor, but he said, I can't wear this. I've not proved it. In other words, it doesn't fit me. It's not for me. I can't try to be someone else or do it some other way. It's got to be God's way. And so David had no armor going out there. He had no shield. And when it came to a weapon, look at man's mentality of weapons in comparison. You have a giant who not only has a sword, but he also has a spear that spear in itself would have been daunting to even look at. I mean, picturing the massive size individuals that bow hunt, you know that there's a big difference. And you look at arrows and you look at the tip of the arrow, and you don't use the same tip when you're practice shooting as you do when you're hunting. And you can, but typically there are certain tips you can use for hunting, and then there's your high dollar, just looking at them, you know that if you're not careful when applying those tips, you could even cut yourself just because of the razor blades and all that are there. And you look at some of them and they look scary to begin with. I mean, I don't want to be hit by any kind of an arrow, but I would much rather be facing one with a blunt tip than one face that is designed to shred me to pieces when it hits. And so when you're looking at weapons, you look at what Goliath had, and just the weapon of the spear, and he very openly said, "Who do you think you are?" Defying the God, the living God of Israel. Who, matter of fact, you look at what he said to the other soldiers that were around him, quivering in fear. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is to be saying what he's saying against our God and against God's people? Somebody ought to cut him down to size." I mean, that's David had the ability to face the giant, but yet the weapons of warfare that seemed to make Goliath so much more capable than David had little to none effect when it came to David's mentality of facing the giant. Oftentimes, fear, the giant of fear, the reason that it has such a grip on people is because that giant in our eyes, because we don't love God the way we should, we don't trust God the way we should, and therefore we've given place for fear to be so overwhelming that every little piece of it is just a daunting task. Oh, I can't handle it. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. Because it'd be the same way if David went up to Goliath and said, "Oh my goodness, look at that spear. Oh, the shield is huge. Oh, how's this little rock going to ever penetrate that armor?" He could have gone like that. But instead, he wasn't focused on the giant's abilities. He was focused on the God who backed him up. He was focused on the one who was going to win the battle. He wasn't focused on his capabilities. He was focused on his abilities being placed in God's hand and God's capabilities to win the battle. Because he knew ultimately, I'm going to be used as a vessel, and I'm going to let God do with me as he pleases. But in the end, the Lord's the one going to win this battle. And that's really where we have to face fear. And any giant that we come across, we've got to face him understanding that you have to remove the giant's potential to be overwhelming. And so how do I reduce the giant of fear's potential to be overwhelming in my life? I have to love God the way I'm supposed to love him so I can trust him the way I'm supposed to trust him. And then when I trust God like I should, when I stand before that giant of fear, he's no match to the one I'm trusting. Therefore, his weapons in this warfare are not nearly as daunting and don't make him near the big foe that he tries to appear to be, because when he measures up to the one who is actually with me in this battle, he is no match for the one that's with me. So we said where fear comes from somewhere. And so we said fear has a definite object. We said some fear trials, some fear trouble, some fear tomorrow, and some fear the tomb. And all those things can be very overwhelming to each one of us if we're not careful to understand who it is we are trusting. Whether in the trials, in the trouble, whether looking at tomorrow or the tomb, who am I trusting? If I'm trusting God, I can reduce those weapons of that fear can use against me. I can reduce those things to almost nothing in the comparison to the God who can handle them. But then here's what we did not get last week, and we're going to look at this tonight. Fear is most often, not only does it have, is there a definite object that we place fear around, but fear is most often the result of threats, whether they are real or perceived. And a lot of times, you have a little bit of a mixture. An effective manipulator uses enough truth to make it believable, but yet enough lie to mislead and head the wrong direction. And Satan does that constantly. He'll give you it. When he did it with Adam and Eve, especially Eve when deceiving her, he gave enough truth to get her thinking and then began to put in there lies and deception and questions that she never should have considered or thought about or allowed herself to ponder that direction. Fear, you have to be very careful whether it is real, because there are things that are real in this life. There are scary things that are real in this life. But whether it's real or perceived, the fear that we have is from the results of the threats that we see in reality or think are there. Let me just give you some list of these things. There could be threatening people. The fear of those who have hurt or are hurting or possibly will hurt us in our lifetime. We can be afraid to make close friendships because I've been hurt in the past and I'm not going to do that again. We could be afraid to get close to God's people because God's people have done me wrong in the past, or at least typically it's not a whole bunch. Typically it's one, if you want to say it this way, one rotten egg doing some really bad things. And because of that, it's hard to get over it. Now I don't trust any people called Christians because I got hurt by one who claimed to be a Christian. We got to be very careful with these things. We could have, again, that was a real threat, and then it produces a perception of more threat that may not actually be true. But there are threatening people that can cause hurt or are causing hurt or we think might cause us hurt. And fear can come because of other people. There's threatening danger. The worry and apprehension of a crime, war, violent weather, or sudden illness. I heard on the news today that, of course, last night was kind of rough. And thank the Lord that I think they said one tree down in Decatur. And other than that, they didn't really find anything else major in damage. But I know over in Mississippi, they had some serious damage, if y'all seen the news on that. But I was listening as well, and I'm thinking, at least all that's over with. And about the time I thought that, they came up and said, and we're good all the way up until the next threatening possibility coming this weekend. Thanks a lot, okay? Because what does it do? It makes people think about what just happened. All of a sudden, here is now a perceived threat, And there are some who will run crazy for the next several days, afraid that the next one's going to hit me. The next one's going to get us. The next one's actually going to drop one right here. And could it? Maybe. Will it? Don't know. But we have to be careful living our life in fear for what possibly might be threatening coming ahead. The perceived dangers, the possibilities of things ahead. That threatening danger, it could even be wrapped around the entire scenario we're facing right now when it comes to this virus. From day one, it has been the trying to get ahead of it. And so we're taking steps. And I understand what they say many times about, you know, the steps you take now have to actually take into consideration that you're already 15 steps behind. And so it looks like it's over drastic, but actually you're trying to make steps with the idea of, if we saw it in reality, where would it actually be compared to where we think it is? And listen, a lot of that's perception. A lot of that is hoping you're getting it right. And I understand there's a part of that in daily life we have to consider. And with this whole virus situation and all that's going on, I can understand some of what's happening. However, at the same time, I can also look at some things going around us that make no sense whatsoever. We're talking about the hoarding going on. I think, did you say Costco's? I love it. I absolutely love it. Costco's is putting up there that they are not allowing returns of toilet paper and hand sanitizer and all these different things that have been hoarded. They're not going to allow, once all this is over with, if you got a whole stockpile, you don't get to come back and do a return. It's yours. Enjoy it. I love it. Why? Because people went nuts about the threat of danger, and instead of taking time to consider what needs to be done, they just saw what other people, I don't know who it was that started the idea that toilet paper was a major need, but before there was any other facts, really any major facts out there, people were buying toilet paper like crazy. Why? Because somebody did it, and then somebody else saw them do it, thought, oh, they must know something I don't know. I'm going to buy it all too. Next thing you know, everybody that sees it happening, it starts spreading. Then it gets across to the other state, and they find out that's happening. Then social media gets involved, and the entire world finds out. Next thing you know, everybody's following one person's drastic measures because of a threat that they perceive to be a need. And so danger does present us with the ability for fear to grab a hold. We have seen that happen in real time over the last several weeks. How about this one? Threatening values. Threatened values. That's not things that threaten the way our way of life, technically, say people's putting things on us. No, we're talking about the threat of, or the fear of, losing what we consider to be great values in America. There are some things we have to consider are, you know, they're valuable, but there are other things even more valuable than what I thought was so important. But when our values in America, when those things that we hold dear become threatened, it can produce a fear that causes reactions that may not even be godly. If there's one thing that before all this took place, if there is one thing, if you wanted to really fire up a large portion of our nation, start talking about the taking away of the Second Amendment. And even to this day, that's still there. That still causes people to, I mean, all you got to do is you go on Facebook and just mention a little hint of what if. I mean, that's all I can do. What if? Boom! It'll be the biggest topic that hits the internet right there. The people will start going nuts over it on both sides of the issue, because it is a perceived threat. And if my values, things that I value in life, if they're threatened, the fear of that threat becoming reality can cause me to jump the gun, you might say. It could cause me to move in ways that normally I would think twice about, but instead of thinking, I actually just react on fear. And then, can I be honest with you? Sometimes good-meaning people when reacting upon fear, look foolish. And if there's one thing that a child of God needs to be careful of, it's appearing foolish to a world that's looking for reasons to call us fools. We have to be very, very cautious. I'll give you an example. And I know this is live. I know people are watching. But I'm just going to, it's something I've dealt with, and a friend of mine, we're discussing about it, and different people were dealing with it. But was it 2 days ago or yesterday? I can't remember the day. The days all run together. But just recently on Facebook, all of the past live video feeds that we had disappeared on the app. You go to our Facebook page. You go to want to go back and look at any of our previous services, and they're gone. And started seeing popped up. I didn't even know about it until I started seeing stuff just popping up instantly on Facebook. It's a crying shame when Facebook is attacking the church and removing this and removing that and taking all of our stuff away. And I was like, what's going on here? So I went and looked, and sure enough, ours was gone too. Now, I know technology enough, and I know working on servers and websites and all that kind of stuff to know that there's only like a gazillion different possibilities as to why it happened. And it doesn't have to mean we're under attack. Began to look into it a little bit. Didn't take very long, and I realized it wasn't just churches. It was across the board. The videos weren't gone. All our live services weren't gone. You could go to a regular computer or go to your phone and go on a web browser on your phone, and they were all still there. It was just the app that for some reason wasn't showing them. It took you all the way back. It wasn't even consistent. It'd take you back. The very first one that showed up was September of 2019. The very next one that showed up was back in March. I looked at that and thought, okay, that's kind of odd. I mean, if you're going to do it from one date back, you'd have all the ones previous, but even that was all scattered. So I knew instantly this is a glitch. Something's just not right. But but people went nuts. And people that I know and are friends. And I'm not jumping or getting down on anybody. What I'm saying is we have to be careful. I mentioned to my friend, I said, you know, it's important that Christians during this time frame especially don't pick up the victim card so quick and start yelling, "We're victims!" Because if you're not actually being targeted, if you're not actually a victim of anything, it's like the boy who cried wolf. But it gives us a bad name, and it can mess up a reputation. We have to be very careful, very cautious. Fear of danger and fear of our values being threatened can cause us to jump ahead of what's really happening without truly understanding and facing it with wisdom. And so, our threatened values can cause us to act upon fear. The threat of conflict, the anxiety of perceiving the adversity or adversary as being too powerful in our conflict. The idea that we're overwhelmed from the very beginning. It's just not possible. We might as well just give up now. That perceived overwhelming threat of conflict can cause a fear within us that stops the child of God from ever approaching the battle and never even willing to face the battlefield, but saying, let's just wave the white flag and go home. We have to be very careful that fear through the threat of conflict doesn't overwhelm us. And here is, let me see, is it the last one I have? I believe it is. Here's the last one that we look at this, and I'll give you some verses here in just a minute, but irrational or perceived threats can cause a problem too. That's the fear caused from the deception of irrational beliefs. If we're not careful, that's kind of what we've already talked about. It's jumping to conclusions that haven't really been thought out well, but we see the threats, we see the fear, and it overwhelms. Everything is going, these are the mentalities you can come up with. Everything is going to get worse. Nothing can be done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In comes the media. All right. You got to be careful with that. How about this one? When you fear that the worst will happen, your own thoughts may help it bring about that idea. Now, I believe that a person can think themselves sick. I've watched it happen. The hypochondriacs and different ones. I mean, they can literally believe themselves to the point where their body will react to what they've convinced themselves of. And so that can happen to a degree. But I believe we need to be careful. We joke all the time about saying things. Oh, now you done did it. You done put it in the airways. Oh, my goodness, now it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen to us. Be careful with going to the level of possible superstition. We do it if we're not thinking right. If we're focused on fear, you know, well, don't ever say it. If you say it, it'll actually happen. You know, it might happen if you don't say it. It might never happen even if you do say it. Don't let the idea of superstitions get in the way of reality and wisdom. Fear is the wrong use of imagination. It is anticipating the worst and not the best that can happen. Now, for pessimists, it's a natural cause and effect. Things are going bad. I have a way to make it look worse. Yeah, you think it's bad now. Just wait. I guarantee you this, and this could still happen. Okay? I can give you 15 more ways that it can get worse. But being a pessimist can do that. Being an ever optimist, typically they have a much better chance at not using fear the wrong way. Optimists have the ability to take what would be fear and destruction in the minds and imaginations of some and say, yeah, but find something good in the situation, which I'm not gonna put that down whatsoever, because honestly, that's what a child of God needs to do. That's how do you face fear? One of those things is the sound mind. We're going to get to that later. Not going to get to it tonight, I can tell you right now. But Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 24 says this: the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now, can the fears that we imagine become reality? Yes. Because sometimes we're so convinced it's going to happen, that the things that we do, not that just sitting back, it's going to happen because I said it, but there are times that if I'm not careful, my reactions to the fear can bring about a process that actually puts me in the very place I was afraid of. When if I would have trusted God, he could have given me wisdom not to make those choices, and those choices never would have been there. The results and conclusion of those choices never would have happened, because if I'm trusting God, he might have taken me a whole different direction and I never would have ended up what I was afraid of. So yes, there are times that my imagination can take over, your imagination can take over. Fear can cause us to react in a way that actually produces the very thing we're most afraid of. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Listen, does that mean, well, hey, if I'm right with God, nothing can hurt me? No. Be careful. I've already talked about all that in using the blood of Jesus and using I'm a child of God and God, nothing will touch me. That there is a lot of truth in a lot of that. At the same time, it rains on the just and the unjust. God allows difficult things for his people to go through, not because he doesn't protect us, but it's because he has a perfect will, and we have to figure out by trusting him and letting him reveal it to us, figure out the understanding of it all. All things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are all the called according to his purpose. All things do work together for good, even if some individual things don't feel very good. God has a perfect plan. Here's the last thing I'm going to give you concerning this area of fear and the fact that it can come about most often as the result of threats, whether real or perceived. And here it is. A man by the name of Max Licato wrote concerning fear. Now, he focuses around fear, and if you listen to what he says here, you'll find out he's saying that there is an orchestrator of fear, which we already talked about, Satan, okay, our enemy. But he says here, dealing with fear, its modus operandi or mode of operation is to manipulate you with the mysterious, to taunt you with the unknown. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of God, fear, and I'm not talking about holy fear of God, that's just being afraid of God, and it put little g. And so the fear of even the Greeks had great fear of their gods they served. They were afraid of them at all times. Fear of tomorrow, his arsenal, fear, Satan, using fear, his arsenal is vast. His goal, what is it? To create cowardly, joyless souls. He doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountain. He figures if he can rattle you enough, you will take your eyes off the peaks and settle for a dull existence in the flatlands. Satan will use fear to cripple God's people, whether through a crippling by, we don't do anything, just hide away, or a reaction to fear that's not godly and not wise. Charge! Do it! And next thing you know, here's the thing. Over there, we do nothing. Over here, we do the wrong thing. Both ways are dangerous. And we need to be understanding in this area concerning the giant of fear and what it can do to us. We have to be very cautious, knowing that Satan is an orchestrator of fear. We can make it worse. Fear is always wrapped around an object. We talked about those. And fear is often a result of perceived threats, whether real or just thought to be real. We often wrap it around things that we consider to be threatening or even past experiences that have hurt. And fear has grown around all of that because it might happen again. We need to be very, very cautious. We are a child of God. And next Wednesday, we're going to look at the correction of fear. We're going to look at verse number 7. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're going to look at that trio of weapons that we are given to fight against the giant of fear, to win this battle and see that giant fall. And so we're going to stop there for tonight, and we're not going to go any further with that, and we will look at our weapons in this warfare against fear, and we'll do that next Wednesday night, Lord willing.